you for your introduction. Can you guys hear me well? Great. I think we live in the future because I'm going to defend this coming February 2017, and hopefully by then I'll be a doctor. Thank you very much. So, yeah. Well, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Lottie Ling Oh. I'm from North Carolina State University, and I study under the direction of Dr. Travis Gannon and Dr. Matt Polozzato. I think both of them are here, so you guys should go meet them. They're awesome. And today, I'm going to discuss with you on herbicide absorption, and particularly compare ionizable and non-ionizable herbicides. And more in depth, we want to see how soil properties and land use impact these two herbicides absorption. And with that, I'll get started. And good news, after my talk, you're just going to get a break, so special treat. So something for atrazine and metalocor. Maybe most of our audience here are familiar with atrazine. However, I want to take some time to introduce these two herbicides. They both are widely used and detected herbicides in groundwater, surface water, etc. Particularly, atrazine is the second most widely used herbicide in the United States, while metalocor is the ninth most widely used herbicide in the United States. They're both used for broadleaf and grassweed control, so no surprising people like to use those herbicides because they're efficacious. So they have caused some groundwater and surface water contamination. That's why they are also widely detected. So here are those pictures showing where they are normally used. Some land uses like those agronomical fields as well as turf and some forests as well. And here is the table shows the properties of atrazine and metalocor. So for this slide, I want us to pay attention to the ionizability of these two herbicides. For atrazine, it is a weak base with a pKa of 1.7, while for metalocor, it's non-ionizable. So those two herbicides are what we're going to compare today. And take a notice for the KOC. For atrazine is 100, and for metalocor is 200. So that's the general soil properties. Those are for these two herbicides. As most of us know, when you apply herbicides to the environment, there's a complex processes going on, including what you can see from this picture. However, today we're going to mainly focusing on absorption. So why absorption? Absorption is a very key component of the environmental fate and behavior of herbicide because it tied closely to leaching, runoff, and to species transformation, etc. So that's why we want to investigate absorption. The other rationale for this research is there are limited research available to comparing these two categories of herbicides, particularly on the land use, the soil depth, as well as using soil properties to develop predictive models. So that's other rationales. We want to do this research. Therefore, the objectives for this research are first to compare atrazine and metalocor herbicide absorption at different land uses and soil depths. Secondly, use statistical modeling to predict how soil properties affect absorption for both these two herbicides. With this, our experimental design, as the slide shows, you can see the region is Piedmont and coastal. So North Carolina has Piedmont and coastal, and I will show you the map in a second. And then within a region, we have three different land uses, turf, forest, and cropland. And then within this land use, we have two depths, 0 to 5 centimeters and 5 to 15 centimeters, and two herbicides, atrazine and metalocor, with three replications. Here is a map shows where we sampled our soil samples. As you can see, the green markers shows the Piedmont area of North Carolina. And then those yellow markers shows the coastal plain of North Carolina. So that's where we sampled our forest, agronomic field we call cropland, as well as our turf land use. have a golf course cup cutter for soil sampling, and this is my advisor, and he did all the hard work. And you can see that on the your left, you can see a saw. You can cut your soil core into desired depth. So after sampling, then we characterized our soil properties. On your left column, you will see that that's our soils. Three different land uses for turf, crop, forest, and then for coastal and Piedmont region. And then they have 0 to 5 centimeters as well as 5 to 15 centimeters. The other columns show soil properties such as sand, silt, clay, organic carbon, humic matter, pH, and cation exchange capacity. You will see in this table it shows the large variations of the soil properties. After soil sampling, we conducted absorption isosorption experiment. And here's the general steps on how we conducted the absorption experiment. So first, we add soil, and then add calcium chloride to equilibrate for 24 hours. After that, we add different levels of concentrations of the analytes, either atrazine or metallocore. After that, we incubated, centrifuge, and filtered to separate the aqueous and the solid phase. After that, we test the aqueous concentration using HPLC and mass, and then calculate the absorbed concentration using mass balance. After that, we plot the data and produce absorption isosomes as well as the KF values. So we used SAS 9.4 for our statistical analysis, because SAS is developed at the NC State, as most of you probably are aware of. And particularly in my research, GOAM model, ANOVA model, RAC model were used in the data analysis, and our significance level was set at 0.05. Here's the table shows our treatment effect. So if we go to that land use time steps, you will see a significant interruption effect for 0.01. And then for the main effect, you will see that herbicide is also significant. So with that, we did mean separation for these two herbicides. As you can see, metallocore has much higher KF than atrazine, higher absorption. And if we look at interaction effect for land use time steps, then you will see that for 0 to 5 centimeters, forest and depth and the turf had a significant higher absorption and indicating here by KF than cropland and also than the turf and the forest 5 to 15 centimeter depth. So from this research we just shown, we see that for herbicide, metallocore has higher absorption than atrazine, and that we see that they have a very different KOC value. Can go back to that table. And for the interaction, we see significant land use time steps effect. With that, we know that for land use, forest equals to turf and is higher than cropland at 0 to 5 centimeters in terms of absorption, but not different at 5 to 15 centimeters. In terms of depth, the 0 to 5 centimeters is higher than 5 to 15 centimeters in turf and forest, but not in cropland. And those differences we can actually observe from the core color, because for our core in forest and turf, you will see the color have a drastic change. But then when we go to cropland, the soil core, you can't really see much color difference. So that's fascinating, and that's why we are going to do what later, the second component of my research, how soil properties predict absorption. So I know this table has a lot of numbers and statistics. I have a minor in my statistics, I love it, but I know not everyone have the same hobby as I am, so I'm going to explain this in a very, I think, a clear way. So we did stepwise model selection for atrazine and metallocore. So this is a function and SAS you can use in the regression. You can choose the stepwise. And then 5 steps were chosen. So they were chosen because SAS will identify variables that are significant. And Success will stop when they find that variable is not significant. So in Atrazine, they found out that 5 models that had this significant variables combination. So that's why 5 models were chosen. And p-values indicate how significant this variable is in a model. And the model equation is straightforward. It's predicting using these variables for KF value. And then the last 2 columns, R-square and CP values, is indication of how good a fit model is and also how the power of prediction is. Particularly if our audience are not as familiar with CP, then a lower CP value indicates a better model. And also, as you can see, the model 4 in our table shows it's the best model. It has the highest R-square value and also the lowest CP value if you want to choose that model. And the very similar setting, we also did stepwise model selection for MATLAB Core. The only difference is SAS stopped at the second model because there's only OC organic carbon or OC and silt were identified as the most significant variables in those models. So from these 2 slides, we observed for organic carbon to have such a lower p-values as well as they are in every equation. So we were thinking if we want to simplify everything, only use organic carbon to predict absorption, our KF value, how that would do. So from here you will see from left to right is atrazine compared to MATLAB Core. And the setup for this figure is the x-axis is organic carbon, the y-axis is KF value, and you will see the equation as well as R-score values on those figures. And these 2 figures shows a really good fit for organic carbon only. It also shows that atrazine has less of a variation compared to MATLAB Core, indicating by this higher R-square value. So from the above, we identified that organic carbon was the most important predictor for both herbicides. And other properties such as pH, silt, humic matter were selected to predict atrazine absorption, while silt was selected to predict MATLAB Core absorption. And though organic carbon alone predicted absorption well for both herbicides, atrazine model had a less variation. With that, we conclude for absorption, MATLAB Core is higher than atrazine. For land use, forest equals to turf and is higher than cropland at 0 to 5 centimeters. And then for depth, 0 to 5 centimeters is higher than 5 to 15 centimeters for turf and forest. Our stepwise model selection indicates organic carbon is a key parameter for predicting absorption for both herbicides. And then the model of organic carbon predicting KF showed less of variation in atrazine compared to MATLAB Core. The implication for this research is we can know that groundwater contamination, the risk of that through leaching or runoff, that depends on your herbicides as well as on your land use, as what we just shown in our research. And organic carbon can be used as a model input for risk assessment with different accuracy for different compounds, different herbicides. And for our future research, we can focus on assessing absorption on more land use sites to prove what our findings are. And also, we can assess a wider range of herbicides with a broader range of pKa values. With that, I want to thank all those folks who contributed to my research, and I want to thank our funding agency, NCSU Center for Turfgrass Environmental Research and Education, and I also want to thank you as my audience today. And I will take any questions you may have. Thank you. Yes? Yes. So the question is, compared to atrazine, why MATLAB Core has less of variation or more variation, is that right? So this is a really good question because this research was just conducted and data analysis were done, and I'm really going to dig into literature to search on just how those two herbicides differ in terms of the relationship with the correlation with organic carbon. We did find that actually it was surprising because to me, at first I thought metallochlor is non-ionizable. So I would think it has a higher KOC, it should have a much higher association with organic carbon. But surprisingly, our research showed atrazine actually has less variation or higher correlation with R squared equals 0.93. So that's a great question and I really want to investigate on it. It could be because it's more sensitive for a lower KOC value. Yeah, so that's a great question. Thank you. Is any other questions that our audience are interested? Yes, please.
What was the relationship
with PKA? For PKA? For PKA, the atrazine is 1.7. However, for metallochlor, we don't have a PKA for that because it's non-ionizable. So what I would really interested is to do a broad range of PKA values and to possibly associate that with the absorption value. However, I'm going to graduate soon, and that's for future research for my other following graduate students to figure out for our future research. But that's a very interesting point, I think, for different PKA, how that associated with absorption. Thank you for that question. Yes, please. Oh, thank you for asking. So the question is, what's the difference between organic carbon and humic matter? That's a great question because sometimes in our field, some people can maybe use both, not like interchangeable, but they're actually not because organic carbon, what we tested is using the TOC. And for the humic matter, we use the soil testing of North Carolina, the NCDA soil testing lab. They did like a semi-quantitative analysis of humic matter only. So, simply put, those two items, they tested using different methods. And those two are not necessarily perfectly correlated at all. I would say organic carbon testing is like more accurate because based on the carbon it has, and the humic matter is the more qualitative testing on like how much humic matter it has. So the two different methods of testing. Did I answer your question? Thank you. Is any other question from our audience? Yes, please.
I think maybe land use is affecting the type of organic carbon present. So that's probably what our land use is changing the absorption.
Yes, thank you. Yes. Oh, I do think so. So the reason why land use we see that had an interaction, significant interaction effect is probably because land use will affect your soil properties like the organic carbon and maybe even other properties we haven't investigated on yet. And that is also has a profound application in terms of how people manage the land. And also when you apply herbicide to agronomical setting as well as a turf setting, that's very important because we found out in a turf setting, you will see that it maybe it's going to be bound, your herbicide. So it may even have less of risk compared to the agronomical settings. So that's one of the reasons why we investigated on land use. But that's a great point that how land use can impact soil properties. Thank you. Any other questions? I think we're good.
Okay, good. Yeah.
Thank you so much.